I was asked about, I guess about a month or two ago by John to give this message because he wanted me to share my perspective about motherhood because I am clearly an expert in these matters, as you can plainly see. Also because I was past due to give a message. So it had to be my turn eventually, so I just went ahead and said, sure, I will do my best. But basically, as far as the message that I want to give, as I've been going through my notes this morning, if that's kind of where I was kind of going with this, it's kind of changed a little bit because what I wanted to kind of share was about the sacrifice in motherhood. Because if I had to sum up the word motherhood into one simple definition, it would be sacrifice. Considering all the things that moms have to do for their children and just the sheer things that they go through just to have those children, just based on the experiences I've seen, I know from what I've been told, every pregnancy is different. Some consider this to be the most joyous event ever, while others really, really wish that some of those women would just be quiet because their experience is not as pleasant and as joyful as they would like it to be. Unfortunately, my dear wife fell into that category. So I've had, so watching what she had to go through as far as like the pregnancy with the sickness that just lasted all the way up to the very end. And then when the big day came, the issues that arose from that, from Naomi with Bruce, but also with Grace. It was a lot. Of course, I'm very thankful that I'm not the one that was in that position. So, but again, like I said, Liz, thank you. You have been very strong in this whole thing. You are definitely power mom. You really are, considering what I've had to see you go through. So, but it's not just that. I mean, as far as moms go, it's not just about, the sacrifice that they pretty much have to make with their own body, but just something just also with their time, money, health, emotion, and just their sheer emotional state. I mean, to be a parent in general, you're having to make room in your life to include another life or include multiple lives. And it's just something that, you just can't continue living a certain way to be, just to be a parent. You can't act like, you can't keep continue living, like you have no children when you've got children, which is something that with my profession that I see, I do see that a lot. I see a lot of good parents as a teacher, but I do see parents who continue to want to live like they're still in their early 20s. Like they have no responsibilities, and yet here's this little person standing next to them that they just act like they just don't exist. Which to me, the blessing that has been given to them, it really is a shame to see that. So for those women who are moms, whether it was by choice or circumstance, and they just hadn't become a mom, but they went ahead. It's like, okay, I'm now a mom. I'm taking this responsibility seriously. Thank you. Okay, thank you. As far as God's plan for a family is really to be a reflection of him, is really a reflection of himself and also a relationship with his church. You have Father, you have Son, and you have Holy Spirit. And in the family, of course, you still got father, son, or children in general, and then the mother. And when the case of mothers, as far as the aspect of God that they would best represent, would be the Holy Spirit. Because when you read in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is described as, he's our helper, our comforter, our counselor, and our teacher. When you go into the book of Genesis, starting in, if you go to chapter 2, here we go. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, Now the Lord said, it is not good for man to live alone. I will make him a helper. And again, like I said before, that word helper, again, is used to describe the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. And again, mom, the biggest helper of all. Not only just her children, but her husband as well. Because I can tell you right now, there's been more than enough times where I can tell you that Liz has had to help me quite a bit. Basically, she has to tell me, the biggest way she helps me a lot is not only just trying to keep the kids at bay when I need to get something done, especially when we were trying to get our house fixed up and try to get moved out. But also, she had to tell me when to stop. Because if I had my way, I would continue to work all the way through the night, even though I had to go to work the next day. She basically had to bring out that loving hand of hers and try to tell me, Josh, dear, it's really late. I know you want to get this done, and it will. You need to stop. So even though I'm determined, I don't want to listen to her, but again, she comes along and gives me that great counsel to basically talk a little sense into me. Exactly. And since you said wisdom, that kind of brings me to my next point. In the book of Proverbs, whenever Solomon is talking about wisdom, I'm sure a lot of you probably know this, he refers to wisdom as what? As a woman, right? So again, mom, again, sometimes, again, even though Liz calls me, she says, Josh, you're my voice of reason. I don't know. A lot of times I kind of wonder if a lot of times it seems to be the other way around because, again, dads need help. And thankfully, God created the mother for that particular reason. So, again, thank you. And, of course, as a mother, she shares aspects that we do associate. You know, we associate with Holy Spirit, again, comforter, counselor, teacher. And the Lord calls both parents to raise their children up in his ways. And he does give some very, some pretty stern warnings about how you should raise them. So, for instance, Colossians 3:21. Let me bring that up. Colossians 3:21. I'm trying to remember what translation it was. It also refers to parents as well. Parents, do not provoke your children unless they become discouraged. It really is very. It is a very easy thing to do because children are not the easiest things in the world to take care of. Especially when you have a child who is destined to find a way to hurt himself every single day and then sometimes has become successful, as you saw him run around with his little boot on. And right there, when we get back to comforter, if there's a big difference between how mom and dad handle things, dad's approach is, okay, broke foot, need to fix it right away. I know you're crying. We're going to get through this, but we got to get this taken care of now. Mom's immediate reaction, scoop him up, hold him, calm him down first, then deal with it. Dad, on the other hand, will do his best to work through all the crying. Mom, on the other hand, a little bit more of a gentle approach to the situation. Go here into Proverbs 6:20 real quick. And also, again, and my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teachings. So not only does it, Scripture is talking about, do not provoke your child, but also for children as well, to not forsake your mother's teachings. The Lord really wants to raise up generations of people who are going to follow him. And, of course, the only way that's going to happen, it starts in the home. And when you have both mom and dad following, when you both have mother and father both following the Lord, raising those children, you know, you have a much better chance, of course, you know, raising your children the way that he wants you to. It's not always easy, and sometimes, you know, you can do everything in the world. Mom and dad can do everything in the world they can to try to raise their children right, you know, but ultimately, you know, eventually the child may decide otherwise. But as long as you know that you were doing, as long as you know you were following the Lord's command and obeying him and how to raise those children, you really, and hopefully that would, you know, if anybody's in that situation, put your mind, you know, kind of put your mind at ease a little bit. And one of the things that I wanted to share with, and it's kind of regarding it, when I was trying to come up with this message, I wanted to try to go through a few passages in the Bible about different moms in the Bible, and not so much about Mary, because I think like every Mother's Day message I hear, you know, it's, you know, Mary, Mother Jesus, Mary this, Mary that. Not that I got anything against her, but it's like, you know, there's all these other examples of great women in the Bible who were mothers that sometimes I feel like kind of get overlooked a little bit. And one of the stories that I wanted us to read is in 1 Samuel, story of Hannah and when she gave birth to Samuel. So if you would join me real quick, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's see. All right. Start here. All right, verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, and a son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zophu, and an Ephrite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And I just want to skip to verse 10. Sorry, we'll go here to verse 9. And then after they had eaten and drunk a child, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and forget not your servant, will you give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Story of Hannah, when she was desperate for, when she was really wanting a child, she had that desire to be a mother just within her, and just wept bitterly. Said, Lord, please, if you give me this child, I am going to devote him. I am going to devote him to you. And of course, then the Lord does actually answer her prayer, and lo and behold, she gives birth to Samuel. And then after she weaned Samuel, which was in about, of course, back then that could have been anywhere from age 2 or 3, when she finished weaning him, she gave him over to the temple to be raised up in the Lord. And then chapter 2, when Hannah's prayer, which it's definitely one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, and actually would like to read this. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly, let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down the Sheol and rises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he sets the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in the darkness. For not by might shall man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of the anointed. Whenever I read this, I just picture Hannah right before she's getting ready to hand off her son, just praying this prayer, and basically just covering this child in prayer, if you just sum this up, she's basically saying, Lord, I trust you. You do all things. And I know that when I hand this my child over, that you are going to be with him for all his days. And of course, we know what we know of Samuel, is that he became an anointed prophet and was there to anoint David as king. So Hannah just basically right there from the beginning just set Samuel up for greatness just by her faith in the Lord and just that anointing prayer that she just prayed over him. And let's see, let me come over here. And we have to give, and for Hannah, we really got to give it to her. I mean, that was a big sacrifice to her. The only child she had. She only had him for just a few short years before she gave him up. But so I wonder, as Samuel growing up, if Hannah ever peeked in on him ever so often during his time in the temple, just to kind of keep tabs on, just to see what he was doing. I kind of like to think that she did. Because I mean, to give up your child like that, but she trusted the Lord, knowing that he was going to be fine, that he was going to be okay. And it's a big sacrifice for a mother's. I mean, trying to do what's best for your child. And again, that may have to be, you may have to kind of put your own desires off to the side, just to make sure that they have, just make sure they have what they need. But one of the things that I think one big sacrifice I think a lot of parents, especially for our moms, will eventually have to do is, as your child gets older, and when they decide that they want to get married, there will come a time where, for every parent, you're going to kind of have to let them go. In other words, your child still loves you, they still honor you, but when they become a parent themselves and when they get married, eventually now they have this whole new person in their life. And when you go, and the Genesis, talks about man marries a woman and he shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. So I can tell you from personal experience, there are some parents who may have a little difficulty with that, especially for sons, their mother gave birth to them, she helped raise them, but once they take on a wife, eventually the wife does start to come in and becomes the number one woman in their life. And then eventually she's become a mother, now you're a father of your own children. And again, that's a tough thing. But again, just need to remember, both everyone, you just need to remember, who, just continue to remember to honor and... Sorry, this is a really tough... I'm really struggling here. This is a really tough message for me. It really is. Yeah. That's true. I was actually kind of thinking that. A son is a son until he takes a wife. Mm-hmm. And there is truth to that, because he's in a brand new role in his life. The woman that he's now responsible for taking care of is his wife, who eventually may become again the mother of his children. So, in Genesis, but I mean Jesus himself in Matthew 19 even said, "Have you ever not read who created from the beginning male and female? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become flesh." But even though that be the case. For I still believe in mothers. Married or not, they will always continue to hold a really special place in your heart. Regardless, I mean, they were there. I mean, not only did they help bring you into this world, but again, they were there taking care of you from the beginning, nursing you, comforting you. So again. And it's great, that's why we have this day here to honor them and just to lift them up. But yeah, Jesus did say, who's my mother, who's my brother, sister. And of course, he points to his disciples. Even though his own mother was there to come, even though his own mother was there to come see him, because again, when the Lord is calling you to. Calling you to start a family again. His desire is that whatever children you have, however many children you have, his desire is that you are going to be raising up in his ways. And the Lord, of course, the Lord wants your children to love him more than your own parents. That's my desire for Bruce and Grace, and of course that's Liz's desire for our children, that they will love the Lord more than they are going to love us. Jesus was pretty blunt about that. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother and father and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, the context here in the word hate, if you love something more than something else, then you do something else. He's telling you not to actually physically, not really hate, but he's like, because of the love that I want you to show for me, the love that you have for them is... is a lot less than the love that you have for me. It's really hard for me. I love my mother. I really do. Have we had the best relationship? We haven't. There's things on both sides that we've both had to deal with each other, and just things going on in our life, and it has put a strain on our relationship. And I know she's probably watching right now. I'm sure she's hearing this. But it's not a really big secret. It's my desire. For my mother to really know the Lord and to follow Him, it really is, and it's her desire that both her boys, me and my brother, will, continue to, be good, try to be good men, to the people that we, um, to the, to the women that we have in our life that we want to call, that we want to call, that we call our wives, that she wants us to, continue, not only have a great, not only be great husband to them, but, just to try to maintain a good, and also try to maintain a good relationship with her. And it has been, I will admit, it's been tough, but you know what? I feel that as time, things keep going on, our relationship is, it's going to develop, it's going to improve. And I know the Lord will work things out. It's going to work things out for the both of us. And just those things that were in our, those things that were in our past that we kind of, that we both struggle with, eventually we'll both heal from it. There was a little bit more, that I was going to say, but honestly, I kind of don't know. I just want, again, like I said, I just want to, for all the moms out here watching, and all the moms here, like I said, time and time again, thank you for all that you do. And to my other mother, thank you for raising us. Thank you for all that you did, raising us, teaching us, and helping, and just helping us get through life, helping us become successful adults. That we can be independent and be able to, live a life where we can have the knowledge to be able to raise our own family, live on our own, stand on our own two feet. Thank you for the things that you taught us. Thank you for passing that along so that we are successful. So thank you.